nothing happens overnight. There is no quick fix. There is no overnight success. It's great going to church and praying and doing Bible study and say, come to Jesus and he'll make it great. But what we don't know and what we're not aware of is if we have to take action in order for things to change.
Why do people get a little tripped up when we talk about neuroscience, especially when it comes to faith and neuroscience?
Well, I love this topic. And I, as I said, I always get a mixed bag of reactions when I talk about this. And I'm like, God obviously knew I was tough, had thick enough skin to be able to deal with this kind of issue.
You're listening to the Visibly Fit Podcast. Hey, I'm your host, Wendy Pett. And every week, I'll give you holistic, practical solutions for everyday issues related to nutrition, healing, functional fitness, and behavior modifications. As a naturopath, fitness expert, and wellness coach for over 20 years, my goal is to empower you to reach for greater health and to rise up to your next level of living in mind, body, and spirit. You were created with greatness in mind. It's time to own it. Are you with me? Then let's dive in.
Hello and welcome to the Visibly Fit Podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Pett. Listen, do you want to change your life? Well, you got to change your mind. Yep, that's right. You got to change your mind. You might have a mind that's stuck in like a continual program that isn't serving you so well. And so today on the Visibly Fit Podcast, I have a very special, lively woman on the show today. I'm excited to share her with you. Her name is Mamika Cooney, and she is a leading faith-based Christian mindset author and speaker, and she's known as the personal trainer for your mind. She empowers ambitious Christians to rewire their brain by combining neuroscience, positive psychology, and a faith-based approach. Mamika will teach you how to unstick that mind and develop emotional resilience and unlock high performance by becoming the boss of your brain. That's right. It's time for you to become the boss of your brain. Have the mind of Christ. She loves to empower purpose-driven individuals to transform their lives by shifting their mindset, habits, and patterns as they pursue growth to achieve extraordinary results. Mamika is the founder of the Unstick Your Mind, which is a mindset mastery method. It's a transformative program that equips high-performing Christians with the tools to achieve their breakthroughs. Now, she says high-performing Christians, anyone for that matter. She is after those that is wanting to see a change in their life and is ready to change their mind. So Mamika is an empowering motivational speaker. She's the author of 12 published books, a 25-year entrepreneur, international award-winning photographer. We didn't even talk about that on this podcast, and veteran podcast host of Mamika TV Show. So welcome to the podcast. Well, welcome, Mamika Cooney, to the Visibly Fit Podcast. You are the personal trainer of the mind. I'm not a personal trainer of the mind, but I'm going to call you the personal trainer of the mind because you have become such a master at this and an expert. I'm just excited to have you. Thanks for being on.
Well, thanks for having me, Wendy. I'm excited to get this conversation going because I know before we hit record, we're like, oh my gosh, we'd be so happy to talk about this. So it's going to be a fun conversation.
It is. And I know that you and I could hang out and have a lot of fun and a lot of conversations in many different directions. We're kindred spirits of sorts. But first, jump in and find out a little bit about you. First of all, we hear your adorable accent, and everyone, I'm sure, always asks. And that's a South African accent, correct?
Correct. Well, I say you have the accent. I'm the normal one around here. Okay.
There you go.
Yes. So I was born and raised in South Africa. My mom's British. So I also lived in England for 6-7 years. So I kind of always confuse people. And I live in the South. So I'm like Southern, but way Southern. So haven't quite got my y'alls right. But so I've been here in the USA since 2006. So I'm pretty much part of the furniture, I'd say.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I love it. Well, I love your accent. It's adorable. And you are as well. But I am so excited about what we're going to talk about today because, so is he, right? And so we're going to talk about the mind and why do people get a little tripped up when we talk about neuroscience, especially when it comes to faith and neuroscience. Let's dive in there first.
Definitely. Well, I love this topic. And I, as I said, I always get a mixed bag of reactions when I talk about this. And I'm like, God obviously knew I was tough, had thick enough skin to be able to deal with this kind of issue. But what I always say is, you know, we always have to be open-minded about things. Like, you know, Jesus walked this earth. He came and shook up a whole lot of and turned over a whole lot of bird's nests, and people were really upset because he was not the religious minded person that, you know, son of God they were expecting. And I always think, you know, no matter what we think or do, I always like to model what Jesus did and what he said and how he did things. Now, in terms of the mind, like God made us, he's our creator, and he created our mind and our brain and our body and our soul because we are all of that. We're not just one or the other. And like we know, the devil likes to steal, kill, and destroy anything, and he cannot create. He is so lame. He doesn't have a creative bone in his body. He doesn't know how to make things from scratch. So he has to either twist or pervert or confuse and just create a whole lot of negative press around something that God designed. So God made us, and the difference between us and animals is we have free will, right? We get to choose because we use our brains. We use our minds. But a lot, and then
hopefully.
Yes, hopefully. Do. And if we look at the world, like the world is always promising us quick fixes and, you know, just go on this diet and you can lose 10 pounds and just do this strategy and all of a sudden you're a millionaire. And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't work. But there is the truth of the matter is God designed us, and our, what I call our default factory settings are made perfectly in his image. But as life goes on and we're living in a broken world, we do get broken and we get damaged and things affect us. So whether it's childhood trauma, which I like to refer to as the junk in the trunk, that our luxury luggage that we keep hauling us around and we think it's fancy, but it really does slow us down. And a lot of it happens up here. It's how we think about things. And, you know, as we said, scripture is, you know, as a man thinketh, so is he. And God's command to us is to really become more Christ-like. And what does that mean exactly is, you know, he gives us the mind of Christ. But it's not an instant fix. We have to work towards it. Like we go from glory to glory, right?
Right.
And part of this process is like, I've been a Christian since I was 10, walked with the Lord my whole way. My background is in business and entrepreneurialism. And my story is what brings me here today is I actually hit burnout breakdown. I was a people-pleasing perfectionist performer, jumping through all the hoops, in doing all the things, thinking that the more I did, that God would love me more, or I would get approval, or I would be, you know, the typical good girl who just by doing more would be more like God. And what I'd realized through this process when I hit the brick wall, you know, I know, Wendy, you're going through a hard time at the moment, but in 2016, my mother-in-law passed away from cancer, and, you know, she was a strong woman of faith. And I'd known her since I was, you know, in my teens. My husband and I met and married when I was a teenager, and we've stayed connected 28 years later, still happily married. But she really taught me a lot about faith and inner healing and letting go of childhood traumas and walking through that process. So of course, when she went through this hard, you know, she had colon cancer, then progressed to a brain tumor, and seeing her fade away, and it's just heartbreaking, especially when you feel like, okay, God, where are these promises of faith and healing? Like I've prayed and believed in other people, and reality doesn't match up with what we think we should see. Yeah. But what I'd realized through this process, and coupled with that, within a 6-week period, I had a child in a mental health crisis and a business failure. So I had like a trifecta of events that eventually caused me just to break down physically, emotionally, spiritually. I just couldn't do it anymore. The people-pleasing perfectionist was like, hit the road, on the side of the road, I'd blown the head gasket and it was just a hot mess.
Mess, breakdown. Like how did that affect you and your family? Like physically and literally, like how did that shape up?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm a mom of three, and at the time I had all three of my kids at home. Now, you know, years later, two of them are young adults, but at the time it's like, you know, you're a busy mom, you're a wife, you're doing all the things. I was in the business world, you know, all these expectations we put on ourselves. And really my family was hurting while I was hurting, you know, because I always say man might be the head of the home, but the woman is the heart. And if the heart is broken, everybody, including the dogs, will feel it. If mom's having a bad mood, everyone's walking on eggshells. And if, you know, mom is feeling broken or weary, it affects the whole family. And I'd realized, you know, I couldn't keep working on fumes. And God, I remember one of the few instances he spoke to me audibly, and he said, it's time to be well. And I was like, who? Who's where? Like, what are we talking about? I thought I was fine.
You're like, I am well.
Yeah. I'm fine. I'm denial. Like, of course. Like, I do this as a profession. I can deny everything, right? But eventually when your physical body gives in, like, I have never experienced that grief of when your body aches, like literally, you know, really the ugly cry where you're just aching and you feel almost ill because you have the mental, emotional, and physical. Like, I closed my business down. I couldn't handle any sort of more pressure or expectation. I took a year off. I stayed off social media. I did the mom thing. And I'm sorry, you know, blessed those moms who stay at home. I don't do the housewife thing very well. I get so bored. But God took me through that process and he says, you need to slow down in order to speed up.
I'm going to slow you down. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was trying to put more pedal to the metal, thinking more gas would get me there faster. And he says, that's actually counterintuitive. I'm going to bring you right back to basics. Let's go dive into that trunk that you've been holding and all that junk. And you think it's luxury and fun to keep all those designer outfits from when you were destroyed. But no, we got to get rid of them because they're not serving you. And, you know, again, God invites us into these moments and we have our human choice to say yes or no. We can either say, okay, God, I surrender. I will allow you to do the hard work. Or we just continue to go around the mountains and repeat bad behaviors. And, you know, I'm a fixer at heart. I'm a strategist as well. And I'm always looking at problems and solutions and like how things fit together. And when I started to look at myself and say, you know, when I stopped the denial and stopped blaming circumstances, the weather, the finances, or whatever, and realized that the buck stopped with me. And God's like, we need to really start to look back at what is going on inside you. So you stop repeating these behaviors. And for me, I'm naturally curious and I started learning like how does the brain work, you know? And this is where I fell into neuroscience. And before anybody gets on their soapbox, let me tell you, God designed everything. And we hear the word neuroscience. I always preface this because when I speak to a worldly audience, they're like naturally intrigued. But sometimes us Christians have a bias towards criticism and judgment before we've actually heard the truth of what something is. So let me just invite you to be open-minded and to hear this. This is not new agey. This is not woo-woo science. Neuroscience is how the study of the brain. Like if we go to the doctor and he does an MRI, we have those scans of the body. We now live in society where we have medical abilities to be able to look inside how our body works. And there are some amazing, what they call SPECT scans, where they actually see the brain and how the blood flow. And neuroscience is really basically the study of the brain, because our brain helps us on a subconscious level. Like we don't think about breathing or our heart doesn't think about pumping blood. It just does. And our neuroscience is also based on our behaviors and it monitors our whole body. If you think about your body, yourself as a car, that's the wiring that's under the hood. And sometimes it gets a little messed up, or maybe it's burnt out, or maybe it's, you know, it's wired wrong.
Need a new fuse.
Yes, we need a new head gasket sometimes, like a whole, you know, overhaul. And through this process, you know, identifying that I had these old wounds that, you know, it's great going to church and praying and doing Bible study and say, come to Jesus and he'll make it great. But what we don't know and what we're not aware of is if we have to take action in order for things to change.
Yes. I want you to stop. Yeah. And I want you to say that again, because yes, you have to what?
Yes. We have to take action for things to change. God invites us. He never forces us. He's here. He is a gentleman. Mm-hmm. And when he wants us to live in a better world or a better life, he always invites us first. He's never going to force us. He always waits for us to either, like in my case, wait till I got to the end of myself to say, okay, God, I surrender. Here's my white flag. Yeah. But what we realize is that nothing happens overnight. There is no quick fix. There is no overnight success. There is no silver bullet. So when we think about, like the first part I want you to think about is when you go to church or you invite Jesus and he becomes a Lord and Savior, that is our spirit man that's renewed, and that happens instantly at salvation. God, we exchange our will for his, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. But we still have a soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions, and a body. And we tend to forget that they are connected. So even though we become Christians and our hearts are renewed and our spirits are renewed, our mind is still a mess. Like if you have come from a childhood of brokenness, you don't just overnight wake up and all of a sudden you're free. There's work involved. If it took you a hot minute to get into this mess, I can guarantee it will take you a few hot minutes to reverse that. And that's why I like to call myself a personal trainer for your mind, is you would say you go to the gym and you say, I want to lose 10 pounds. Just by going to the gym doesn't make you lose it. You actually have to do the work. You have to sweat it out. You have to lift the weights. And no personal trainer that I know or program ever advises that you lift more than you can manage. We always start slow. We start with something small and then we build on the next thing and we build on the next thing. And God is the same way.
I call that conquering and layering.
Yes. Conquer and layer. So it's like we are onions. We are layered, right? And it's going to cry. Yeah. You're going to cry every time you remove a layer. But God is the same way. He's never going to rip the Band-Aid off of you. So first of all, he needs your surrender and your approval and your permission. And then he's going to slowly take you through the process. And when you partner with him and say, okay, God, I give you my prejudices. I give you my judgments. I give you my preconceived ideas. What is it that you want to say to me right now, today? And he will challenge you on things. And even if you've had these, what we call limiting beliefs, that lies that you've believed, maybe when you were a child, someone told you you weren't good enough or you were rejected and you had these issues and you've carried them through. That was my,
that was yours, right?
My testimony.
And I actually had something similar, rejection.
Yeah. I mean, rejection is huge and it follows us around and we frame our identity based on what something or something that happened or something someone said.
Yes.
And
I'm
it's
glad
a lie.
Exactly. I'm glad you just mentioned that because, I mean, I'm working with patients now that are, you know, maybe even in their 60s and they're still believing the lie and that identity has been wrapped around that lie that they've never addressed and gone into the junk in the trunk, so to speak, and done the work to heal from it. And so I know your heart and you just don't want people to suffer at any length of time, and neither do I. And so times have you seen, like I have, that sometimes people don't want to let go of that junk in the trunk because that has been their identity for so long. They just, they can't even get their mind around it, you know, pun intended, wrap their mind around it to be someone different.
Well, change is hard. And we know,
change is different.
Well, change can feel hard because here's the thing is, let me give you some science on this, is that your brain is wired to avoid discomfort. Because if you think about back in the day when we were running away from hungry lions, that was survival, right? danger, don't go there, that we might get eaten alive. And that's ingrained in us. And that's just the way that our bodies and brains physiologically are built. But in modern society, that doesn't get turned off automatically. We always are looking from a survival comfort. So anything that's risky or feels like it's difficult or there's change, because change is a challenge. And not everybody's up to doing the work that's required in order to overcome a challenge. So we either get to choose whether we stay the same or change. But changing means exchanging, right?
Yeah.
And exchanging is an active word. It's something you have to like literally do. But the good news is that, and what the neuroscience is showing, that your brain can be rewired. So if you just think about it this way, your brain inside, if you looked at it from a scan, neurology of your brain, if you had to look at it under a microscope, they look like little trees. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing? So little it brain is. Cells look like trees. So, and what does God say? We need to stay connected to the vine, right? Mm-hmm. We need to stay connected so that we can become fruitful, so we can produce fruit and we can be fruitful for others. So if we have, you know, burnt up little trees and then the connections aren't there from trauma or, you know, hurt or pain, those are not producing fruit. So God brings us into this place where we can rewire. And then, and what is so exciting, and I know you can tell me, I get so excited about this, is that the science is catching up with the Bible. The Bible has long told us, renew your mind daily, you know, let go, forgive. Have the mind of Christ. And that can sound like cute Christian cliches, but they actually are not. They're based in what the studies have shown is that when you take the active steps to renew your mind, you take that thought captive. So when negative Nancy wants to come and tell you how terrible you are and how awful and you're not worthy enough, you're going to say, stop. That's a lie. That's not truth. What's God's word says about me is I'm loved, I'm chosen, I'm, you know, and you start to recite, Jesus did that. That's one of the things the devil did, right? When he took him up the mountain is try to make him say, well, who do you think you are?
Right.
And if we don't know who we are and whose we are, that we are royal children of the Most High, we are going to be allowed, we're going to allow the enemy just to trample on us and people, and we're not seeing our worth. So this is why, you know, the mindset stuff is just so everyone knows is that It's not woo-woo science. It's actually based on how we built. And when we marry the two and we realize that the science meets up with what the Bible has already told us to do, and all we need to do now is to take that knowledge and to put it in action, that is when we see our breakthrough.
Ah, you're talking my language. I love it. And, you know, there are so many people that do know who they are and whose they are in their heart, right? But it's bridging the gap between the mind and the heart, right? So that they do take action and fully live it out. Not just, oh yeah, yeah, I've received Christ and I'm good. And then all of a sudden something triggers them and then they respond how they've always responded, right? Because of that neural pathway that's already been engraved into their or the groove in their brain. So as I think a lot of my listeners are going to say, you know, okay, I hear you. This is good, Mamika. This is awesome. I'm digging it. But what do I do? Like, what are some strategies? What are some techniques for, and you just gave one, like, you know, counter negative with what God says of who you are and whose you are. But what are some other techniques and maybe something that someone can put into practice so that they can overcome their own traumas and their own negative grooves in the brain and jump those over and reconnect some neurons and get on a positive Christ-like track?
Definitely. Well, especially when we are in a situation where we feel like we want to change something, whether it's, you know, an exercise routine, a financial habit or an eating habit, it all starts with being aware of what the issue is and saying, okay, first step is I need to admit I have a problem.
Because being honest.
You're in denial. Yeah. Being honest with yourself and saying, I know that my thought patterns are not good. You know, the drama queen gets in there and she starts having a hissy fit. And the next thing you know, we're in drama city and it's the worst day of the world, right? And everyone's like, oh, no, no, no. But what we realize is we have the power to say no to those thoughts. So knowing that you have the agency to take those thoughts captive and to challenge them, you don't have to just believe the lies you hear. And often that voice sounds like you because it's, you know, that's the enemy's a thespian. He knows how to mimic exactly what we think and say. So the first step is being aware of that this is what you're doing and not just allowing yourself to react to situations or somebody sends you a text or an email and your first reaction is offense and then you get all upset. So just being aware, and that's what we know we're saying, being holistic, being wholly aware of your mind, your thoughts. And our body is a great indicator. Like,
you know,
we talk about being nervous, like you get tightness of the chest or you get butterflies in your stomach. Your body's talking to you and telling you what emotions you're experiencing. Because let's be honest, emotions are energy in motion. Like you feel the shift in energy and you're like, oh my gosh, this muscles tense. And
so right. Your body knows what you're thinking.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So your body will scream at you if something is wrong. But it's being in tune with that and recognizing the signs and saying, okay, you know what? Hold on. I just started to feel anxious. My heart rate's increased. What was I thinking 2 seconds ago? What was the thing that I heard or somebody, whether it's a text, an email, or something that triggered this thought pattern that now has got me on worry lane? Like I'm starting to look or think of the worst case scenario. So I always say is awareness is key. That's step one. Now, another tip that I always advise, and actually the science has shown this is to be true, is when you write things down, not type them, write them with a pen and paper, it forces your brain to slow down and tap into your subconscious level of thinking. Now, as a child, I always used to keep a diary, like, dear diary, you won't believe what she said to me. She was so mean, you know. I didn't realize that it was a very useful tool of processing my thoughts and emotions. Uh-huh. So if you don't know what you're thinking, this is a great indicator, whether you consider yourself a writer, is just to jot down and write down what you're thinking without any filters, even if you sound like a petulant child. Because what happens then, you're giving yourself feedback. You can then read what you've written. And I know the Holy Spirit does his work. He'll say, that's not true. That's a lie. This isn't what God's word says. And you will start to find you have a conversation by allowing yourself to give yourself permission to complain. Yeah. Just say, you know, I'm feeling frustrated. I'm like, part of my issue was I needed to forgive God for not answering my prayers. Like I thought I had the right to be angry with God because of the situation I was in. Right. And once he had realized the truth of what I was thinking and feeling, only then could I then take countermeasures to change. So awareness is part of being aware of how your body's feeling when you react, like, and then writing it down and seeing a visual, because you can then challenge it. And if you have a problem with something, like whether it's confidence or offense or unforgiveness, if you need the next thing would be to counteract the lie with the truth. Because if you've ever seen somebody who's who knows how to tell the difference between, you know, the real and the fake, like a forger knows how to make it look almost real. You don't look at the forgery. You study the original.
The real.
So whether it's original. Money or jewelry, you study that so you know it well. So our original is the word of God, right? If we are studying God's word and his word says I'm loved and I'm forgiven, so in that lie that I'm hearing that you're worthless and you no one's ever going to forgive you, you can immediately say, excuse me, no.
I know the original.
Challenge the thought. My original design says this, and just say no. Like I remember having, when I'd have these issues, I'd take another piece of paper and I'd like read back what I read and like, okay, what's the opposite of this? And then write down scripture references. And sometimes I'd need to, like, I even remember going through a period where like I was like a month, God was like, you need to look in the mirror and say, I'm God's chosen and I'm loved and forgiven. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so lame. Why this are we doing this?
This is so good. I mean, I do all of these kinds of things with my patients currently. So you're giving great, great advice because we're already doing that. But
exactly. But it's being aware that this is actually what's effective, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, at first you don't feel like it and it's going to feel hard and it's going to feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But change is worth the challenge, right? And it's worth the other side, because here's another thing I always say to people, and the neuroscience also shows, is that we need to have a vision of where we want to go. And what does the Bible say? My people perish for lack of vision, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't know where you want to be, how do you know that you need to get there? So when somebody says to me, I feel stuck, I don't know what to do next, it's allowing yourself to dream and with God and say, God, give me a new dream. Show me how you designed me to be. What is the thing I'm not seeing? Because when we have something to aspire to, whether it's a weight loss or money goal or a relationship or just general health, it helps us to put the pieces into place.
Right.
So taking action doesn't feel as hard when you know you just need to put one foot in front of the other and just gently walk with God, because he will show you what steps to take.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All so good. I love it. I was just thinking about with neuroscience and with AI and social media and, you know, pictures. And anyway, I'm just kind of curious your take on how this has really damaged our mental health. And then I was actually thinking when you were talking about the one that can tell original from a Ford signature, how there's probably going to be some expert that's going to start studying, because of AI, the original person speaking or their writing versus AI. Anyway, I'm just curious. Let's just have a conversation about that.
So what is your question in terms of AI?
Yeah, it's not really a question. It's just, let's have a discussion. I'm curious about mental health and the way in which it's affecting the brain. Social media, maybe some AI, but let's just kind of go social media first.
Yeah. I mean, we now live in a day and age where you can have all the information in your fingertips, literally in the palm of your hand. You can get information about anything at any time. But the problem is, it's like, I like to always think of it as like, you know, this is like sticking your finger in the plug in the wall. And you're getting electrocuted. You know, sometimes it's not advisable to do that. Well, anytime it's not advisable to do that. And if we're staying engaged from a neuroscience perspective, it's like you're constantly, you know, you're giving your brain these dopamine hits, and there's like your hormones are going crazy. And it's like you get this is the thing I say to my husband, I feel tired, but I'm wired. Like my brain doesn't want to switch off because I've either been on the computer too late or the blue lights stimulate me and I can't fall asleep. And I'm like, my body is saying, go sleep. But I'm like, the wheels are turning and nothing wants to switch off. And it's literally like we've overstimulated ourselves.
Exactly.
I mean, children especially have a terrible problem with this because they don't have those filters. They don't know when to say no and when to switch off. But even as an adult, like no lies here.
Well, it's addicting.
To switch off. It is. And it's not your fault.
Right.
It's actually designed to hack your brain. So social media has been designed to keep you engaged, to keep you scrolling, to keep you wanting those dopamine hits because it feels good, like when you discover something new. Ooh. But you do that too often.
Yeah.
Like any drug addict is going to eventually have a problem when you've overstimulated and overconsumed that content. Now, everyone's using the word AI, and it's not really a buzzword. It's not anything new. But in terms of like, where we're getting information, it's just another another form of information. But what we need to realize is that we are being challenged every day of what the difference between truth and fake. And of course, we will see it more often where the likes of AI generating, you know, from imagery to text, it's going to be really hard to tell the truth from the lie. And this is by design, because the enemy doesn't want us to question. Right. He wants us just to believe what we are given. But the last time I checked, we're not in the medieval times where you were just believed what you were told and you were never questioned authority.
Yes.
We do have information, but we have to make the decision of what we will
critical
allow
thinking.
Into. Yes. What do we allow into our eye gates? What are we going to allow into our ear gates? What are we going to listen to? What are we going to speak out of our mouth? Mm-hmm. Are we going to align with what God's intention is for us? And it just means that we are going to be more and more challenged to say no, to switch off the apps. Like, I don't have the notifications on any social media app on my phone or desktop. I will go in when I'm ready and go and maybe spend 30 or 40 minutes just checking emails, messages, and then I get off, because I know myself, if I get stuck on there, it's really hard to pull yourself out of the vortex, right?
Because
you get
sucked in. It's a time suck. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not that you're doing anything wrong. It's they have literally hacked into your brain to trigger those parts of your brain that just react immediately to stimulus. And they know
how
to do this.
So someone with trauma, so that's kind of where I want to go. So someone who has the trauma brain and needs the rewiring, I mean, it's very detrimental to you know, rewire the mind and get into a healthy place. And yes, we have the mind of Christ, but we have to take action. And that action, like you just said, might be turning off your cell phone, turning off the apps, that kind of thing. So anyway, I just kind of wanted to get your take on that. Didn't really have a question, just wanted to have the little conversation. Now, question, or I guess conversation, because I know for you at the age of 31, I don't know your name or age now, but I think it's been a few years now, but at the age of 31, you decided to take on ice skating, figure skating. Like, talk about how that changes our brain when you do something new,
exactly.
Even at an adult.
Well, I've always loved a challenge, okay? I'm always ready to step up to a challenge, especially because I love the pursuit of mastery. And once I've mastered something, I kind of get bored. So I come from a classically trained ballet background. I spent 20 years from the age of 2 to like 22 doing ballet. Now,
really?
You would think that would translate to other things. And when I remember my eldest daughter went to a party at the ice rink, I was 31 at this stage. I was like, one of those childhood things was I always want to learn how to ice skate. But, you know, you see these kids that are whipping around, you know, jumping and spinning at 5 years old. I'm like, how on earth am I ever going to even be able to do that? But I believe that anything worth doing is worth the effort, right? And the challenge is what makes us grow. So yes, it's taken me another 15 odd years. I'm like, 47 now? So I've been showing up every week, once a week with a coach, and have been training my brain and rewiring myself and reconfiguring my muscle memory to learn a new skill. So I am proof that you can teach an old dog new tricks. Now, it does mean I've had to be more patient with myself.
Sure.
Because as an adult, the older we get, we overthink everything and we question everything. Because now I've had to challenge the old beliefs of this is how you do it to, wait, here's another way to do it. So maybe we can work with both, or maybe we need to change the way. So, and for me, that's why I always believe that there is no challenge out there that cannot be overcome with your decision to make the change and then the action that follows. Because all the science shows us, you know, whether it's sports psychology or exercise programs, consistency is key. Mm-hmm. If we keep showing up and doing the little things, the little steps, they don't have to be these like, I'm going to lose 10 pounds in 10 days. Like, that's ambitious, honey. Let's try with like 1 pound a month, build your confidence. Just like you were, you know, you want to lift the weights, you're going to do it slowly and you're going to build and you're going to build. And the same thing, and this is why I like to call myself the personal trainer for your mind, because we are training your mind muscle to let go of old programming, old habits, and we're going to build a new muscle and the new neural pathways through consistency, through intentional action and positive rewiring in terms of taking that consistency every day. And the proof shows that it can be done. So you're never too late to change your life by changing your mind.
That's right. I love that, Mamika. And that's so inspiring. I am going to do a little digging to find out what do I want to learn to do. I actually just took on some painting not too long ago. So there's that as well. But I'm thinking more physical, like I like to hike. But I'm thinking, man, what would be something way outside the box? Not that I'm going to go ice skating, but maybe something like that. So that's very inspiring. You're never too old to try something new. And it does. It changes the way your brain operates and the way your body responds. So that's super cool. I love that. As we kind of wrap this up, what would you say is kind of the biggest hurdle or myth that some of the people that you work with, because you work with people, is that correct? One-on-one, you've got some coaching programs?
Well, I have a course, an on-demand course, as well as I prefer a group coaching model because the science has actually showed that peer-to-peer coaching and having that accountability is actually more effective. If you think about
100%, I've done both. If you think about
Weight Watchers, why Weight Watchers is effective is because you have that accountability where you have to show up and weigh yourself. Like, because we know human nature.
Or why Visibly Fit is effective because we have group coaching.
Yeah, because you need your friends and your peers to keep you accountable and keep your feet to the fire, because natural human nature is just to cop out and like stay on the couch eating Ben and Jerry's.
It's
like,
called it's the easier. Pleasure trap. Yep.
Exactly. So we know we need that. So for me, the way that I am, going back to my story real quick. So, I'd been in the business world, and after that crash and burn, I'd realized there was better ways of doing things. And I went back to school, got recertified as a coach, and studied neuroscience and,
with AIM, through the Amen Clinic.
Yes, Amen clinics and, like Dr. Caroline Leaf, also South African, and all of that positive psychology. And I spent a good three and a half years recertifying myself. And for me, I'd realized this is such an effective skill to be able to have, to be able to apply this, whether it's to business, ministry, family. Once you have these mind management skills, you can overcome any challenge because you have the tools. Yes. You know what to do when you have a challenge. It doesn't matter what happens. You're no longer a victim.
Life is going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to have challenges. You're going to have hard things. That's a guarantee. But now you have a set of tools that you can apply to how you respond and react to these circumstances. So for me, I always feel it's important for us to have this conversation, especially in the Christian space, because I feel this is what's been missing in church, is teaching us the how. Yeah. We've been told you need to do this, and even sometimes throwing the bit of guilt and condemnation in there, which of course is not from God. No. But if we know that there's a way out, there's a path, we can see what we need to do. We can then put into action, taking God's word into action, so we can affect change in our life. And that is the best.
And it doesn't seem so scary for people, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I love what you're doing. I love what you're all about. And I'm so thrilled that we got to spend time together today. So those of you that are listening, Mamika has written 12 books. I repeat, 12 books. And you can get those at mamikacooney.com. And possibly Amazon as well. But mamikacooney.com, check that out. Check out her courses and learn more there. As we close, Mamika, I'm sure you hear this a lot, but is there your favorite scripture verse that you like to apply daily or that you use with your clients?
Yes. Well, I love Romans 12:2, is like renewing the mind, like actually taking that to the bank and saying it's in the Bible. It commands us to actually do that, is to take our thoughts captive so that we can do what's pleasing to God. Right. So for me, it's just one of those things I have to remind myself that this is a daily practice, and just having that encouragement to know that it can be done, and it has been shown to be done. We just need to align ourselves and come in. And this is why we need each other. Because we don't do things in isolation, and finding somebody or a body or a church or coming together and providing that support, not criticism, judgment, but coming together and providing that support and saying, you can do this. Let's be each other's cheerleaders. So, just to reiterate, if people want to get more info, I have a ton of information. I have my own YouTube channel. You can follow me on social media at Mamika Cooney and my website. I actually have a free book called Mindset Makeover that they're welcome to come to my website and get mamikacooney.com/mindset. So all the good things, all the great things. And we just look forward to seeing people break through and having testimonies from that.
Amen. I love it. I love it. Well, thank you again for heeding the call that God has on your life, and blessings on you. And we'll be in touch. Take care.
Thanks for having me.
All right. I sure hope you enjoyed this episode of Visibly Fit. I told you Mamika is adorable and lovely. and full of information. So I know you were blessed by this episode. Make sure you share it with others and go on over to her website at mamikakuni.com, grab one of her 12 books or the free book that she mentioned as well. And yes, if you want to change your life, you do need to change your mind. And you might need to just change your mind about taking action, about jumping on over to getvisiblyfit.com or wendypet.com so that you can change your health in all areas, mind, body, spirit, and emotions. So do that. Take action today. Let's get you going on the Visibly Fit 7-Week Accelerator, and we'll get you in your best, healthiest version of yourself. All right. Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Visibly Fit, and we will catch you same time, same place next week. Be blessed.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. So thank you so much for tuning in. I love spending this time with you. To learn more and get more free resources, just head on over to wendypet.com. And thank you in advance for sharing this episode and this podcast, following and subscribing not only to this podcast, but finding me on social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you are, I'm probably there too. Until next week and our next podcast time together, make it a Visibly Fit day.